Shalom, everybody, and we welcome you to this week's 5-Minute Update, where we examine the news from the past week and relate it to significant Bible prophecies of the end of days, where we focus on the prophecies that the nations of the world would divide the land of Israel, Joel chapter 3, verse 2, and the city of Jerusalem, Zechariah chapter 14, and verse 2. And that will result in the judgment of the nations, Joel chapter 3, and verses 9 and 10. That judgment is war between the nations and worldwide economic collapse. As a result of the war and economic collapse, the nations of the world will restructure and they will initiate one world government, one world currency. That's Revelation in chapter 13. And during this time, the God of Israel will gather his people, that is the 12 tribes of Israel, that is the house of Jacob, from the nations where they've been scattered, bring them back to the land of Israel. And in this process, the Messiah of Israel will be glorified. And so we primarily focus on the week's news events in Israel and looking at the current situation with the peace process. Now, because it's been all over the news, all of you should be aware that in this past week there were some boats that came into the Gaza area. However, Israel has a naval blockade of the area because they do not want arms from Syria, Iran, and other countries who oppose Israel to come into the Gaza Strip and Hamas get their hands upon them. And so in order to prevent this from happening, Israel has a naval blockade from ships coming into the Gaza that they first need to be checked. And Israel is allowing humanitarian goods to get into the Gaza Strip. And as you all know, the Arab world does not, in essence, recognize Israel's right to exist or the right to be in the land of Israel. And so they're rallying world public opinion in any way they can against Israel and declaring that the Gaza belongs to the Palestinians, that Judea Samaria or the West Bank belongs to the Palestinians, and East Jerusalem belongs to the Palestinians, and they're demanding their right to have a state and exclusive control over the area. And I believe that these ships that came in to the Gaza area that Israel stopped, that it was much as a political show as anything else. And there was a confrontation on one of the ships, and there was an exchange of fire. And there were people, sadly, who were killed as a result of the incident. And so as a result of this, Benjamin Netanyahu was scheduled to come to the United States on June the 1st and have meetings with the Obama administration, but those got canceled. So that's the background where we pick up here. And the first article is from Haaretz, and the article reads, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu decided Monday to cancel his visit to the United States, where he had been invited to meet with U.S. President Barack Obama in the wake of the deadly clashes that occurred after Israeli Navy troops stormed a convoy of international activists carrying aid to the Gaza Strip. Netanyahu, who was in Ottawa when the incident took place early Monday, will return to Israel following his planned meeting with Canadian President Stephen Harper. Israel has defended the Navy's decision to open fire on the activists during the interception of the boat. At least 10 of the left-wing activists were killed in the incident and several more wounded. 8 of the Israeli soldiers were wounded during the clashes, 2 of them seriously. Defense Minister Ehud Barak said earlier Monday that the organizers of the Gaza and flotilla were to blame for the violent events aboard the ship. In a press conference hours after the incident, Barak said that Israel was prepared to accept the consequences of its action and would continue to protect its autonomy. Barak voiced regret for the deaths but called the flotilla a political provocation and said the sponsors of the flotilla were violent supporters of a terror organization. Israel Defense Forces Chief of Staff Gabi Ashkenazi, meanwhile, said the soldiers were forced by violent activists to respond with live fire. Deputy Foreign Minister Danny Ayalon said earlier Monday that the organizers of the Gaza Aid Flotilla have connections to international terror organizations such as Hamas and Al-Qaeda and called the aid convoy a violent and provocative attempt to break the blockade on the Gaza. Ayalon, speaking at a press conference at the Foreign Ministry, said that Israel found weapons aboard the Gaza flotilla which were used against Israel troops. The deputy foreign minister said that the Gaza flotilla did not heed Israel's calls to halt its movement toward Gaza on Monday morning and stressed that no sovereign country would have allowed such a provocation to take place. "We couldn't allow the opening of a corridor of smuggling arms and terrorists," said Ayalon. And for those of you who may be interested, these articles and the links to them are posted at the 5-Minute Update blog website, watchmenofzion.com. The next article is from WorldNet Daily, June the 3rd. And part of the article reads, "The Israeli government official told WorldNet Daily that Netanyahu canceled a scheduled meeting with Obama earlier this week after the White House sent signals to Israel that the timing was not good for a meeting in light of the flotilla accident. News media widely reported Netanyahu canceled the meeting to deal with the fallout of the flotilla." So one of the news reporting agencies says that it was actually the United States that requested the cancellation of the meeting with Netanyahu, even though most of the media reported it was Netanyahu and Israel who had canceled the meeting. And the report that indicated that it was the United States that canceled the meeting, the reason for doing so is that the Obama administration said that they did not want the platform of Washington and Congress for Netanyahu and Israel to present their version and their side of the story that might cause more Americans to have sympathy for the way in which Israel responded to the incident. However, it was the media that reported that it was Netanyahu and Israel who had canceled the meeting because of the need to return to Israel. So we have some conflicting reports regarding the reason for the cancellation of the meeting. Nevertheless, in this same article, the beginning of the article states that the Obama administration is pressing Israel to allow into the Gaza Strip new activist flotilla setting sail from Europe, according to an official in Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office speaking to WorldNet Daily. Separately, an Israeli government official said the White House asked Netanyahu for concessions in Israeli-Palestinian negotiations in exchange for U.S. opposition to the establishment of a United Nations commission to investigate Israel's commando raid on a flotilla earlier this week that resulted in the death of 9 violent activists. So Aaron Klein is reporting here in WorldNet Daily that the United States is seeking a political deal with Israel that they will oppose a UN commission in exchange for Israeli concessions or ultimately an agreement regarding the peace process. So everything is being made political for the purpose of accomplishing political goals and purposes. Now, the next article is from FoxNews.com, June the 1st, and Israel states that the blockade of the Gaza Strip to prevent arms smuggling into the Gaza being given to Hamas will continue. Despite growing international condemnation, Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip will continue due to fears that Hamas will ship rockets and other weapons into the area, Israeli officials say. Despite growing international condemnation, Israel's blockade of the Gaza Strip will continue due to fears that Hamas will ship rockets and other weapons into the area, Israel officials say. Israel Defense Minister Ehud Barak spoke to his Turkish counterpart as well as the country's chief of staff on Monday, and they agreed that the raid on the flotilla that ended with Israel soldiers killing 9 activists wouldn't affect weapons deals, defense officials said, who spoke on condition of anonymity. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's spokesman, Mark Regev, indicated Israel consider ways to ease the blockade to allow more goods into Gaza, a policy quietly underway for months. We have been expanding the assistance that's been going into the Gaza Strip, both the volume and the variety of goods, and we have ongoing dialogue with the international community, said Regev, who added that Israel could not end the blockade, fearing that Hamas would ship rockets and other weapons into the area. We cannot have unfettered naval cargo going into the Gaza Strip, he said. Now, during this year, the last few months, we have seen a very significant development in the Middle East, and that is we are seeing Turkey aligning themselves with Iran, Syria, and Hamas, and alienating themselves from Israel, from the European Union, and the United States. This is a very significant prophetic development, because in Ezekiel 38 and 39, part of the Gog-Magog coalition that invades the land is Tagarma, or Turkey. And so this article from the Jerusalem Post on June the 4th says, Turkey has embraced Iran and Hamas. A top Israel envoy criticized Turkey's outreach to terror groups Friday, hours after Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan was quoted as saying Hamas is not a terrorist organization. Turkey is now saying that Hamas is not a terrorist organization. Turkey has embraced the leaders of Iran and Hamas, all of whom call for Israel's destruction, declared Israeli ambassador to the U.S. Michael Oren. Our policy has not changed, but Turkey's policy has changed very much over the last few years, he said. Under a different government with an Islamic orientation, Turkey has turned away from the West. But Oren, speaking on a conference call organized by the Israel Project, held out hope for reconciliation. We certainly do not have any desire in any further deterioration in our relations with the Turks, he noted. It's an important Middle Eastern power. It's been a friend in the past. Earlier Friday, Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan declared at a rally in the Turkish province of Konya that Hamas was not a resistance movement. Next article from Haaretz.com. This is a response from Israel regarding the flotilla incidents. Ehud Barak, the defense minister of Israel, says, in the Middle East, there is no mercy for the weak. Defense Minister Ehud Barak visited the Shayatet 13 base in Atlet on Wednesday and praised the commandos who participated in the deadly raid on the Gaza-bound aid flotilla on Monday by carrying out their mission, Israel Army Radio reported. You carried out the mission and pretended and prevented the flotilla from reaching the Gaza, Barak said. We need to always remember that we aren't North America or Western Europe. We live in the Middle East, in a place where there is no mercy for the weak, and there aren't second chances for those who don't defend themselves. We were fighting for your lives. I saw it and I heard it from your commandos. Nevertheless, the words that are being spoken diplomatically is that Israel, the United States, and the Palestinians are all saying that they need to continue to go forward in indirect talks. From YNetNews.com, June the 3rd, Ehud Barak says to George Mitchell, the flotilla must not stall indirect talks. Despite the recent events, which don't necessarily help, I hope we manage to overcome the hurdles and continue the proximity talks, in the hope that these will lead to direct talks in the continuation of the political process. The political process is a diplomatic term for establishing a Palestinian state. Defense Minister Ehud Barak said to U.S. Special Envoy to the Middle East, George Mitchell, on Thursday. The Palestinians, meanwhile, through Mahmoud Abbas, also are stating that they reject calls to suspend talks. Now, the only reason why the Palestinians would be in favor of continuing talks is if they believe it will help them to achieve their political goals. Obviously, they feel confident regarding that. So from the Jerusalem Post on June the 2nd, Abbas rejects call to suspend talks. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas on Tuesday rejected calls to suspend peace talks with Israel and said that the U.S.-sponsored proximity negotiations would continue despite IDF operation against the Gaza-bound convoy. Abbas made the announcement during a phone conversation with UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Now, from May the 29th in the Jerusalem Post, Mahmoud Abbas says that Netanyahu is not a real peace partner, but rather than negotiating with Israel, that the Palestinians are negotiating with the United States. The Palestinian Authority considers the U.S. administration and not Israel as its peace partner. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas was quoted as saying over the weekend, Abbas told U.S. Special Envoy George Mitchell that the Palestinians don't believe that the government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is not a real peace partner, according to Abbas Zaki, member of the Fatah Central Committee. President Abbas told Mitchell that the Israelis are no longer peace partners as much as the Americans are, Zaki told the London-based Al-Quds Al-Arabi newspaper. Zaki added that Abbas asked Mitchell to present Washington's views about peace and not to wait for Israeli proposals. The Palestinian Authority is negotiating with the United States and not with Israel, he said. So the reason why Mahmoud Abbas would want indirect talks to continue is of the assurances that has been given to the Palestinians by the United States regarding the process and what they hope to be the political objectives to come from them. And ultimately, the Palestinians would like to see talks fail. They like to blame Israel for the failing of the talks, and they would like to see the United States and the international community to declare an imposed solution regarding the situation. This article is from Google News. Abbas demands bold decisions on the Middle East. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas said on Wednesday he will ask U.S. President Barack Obama to take bold decisions on Middle Eastern peace during an upcoming visit, which is June the 9th. My message to Obama during our meeting in Washington next week will be that we need bold decisions to change the face of the region, Abbas said at an opening of a Palestinian investment conference in the West Bank. Abbas was to meet with U.S. Envoy George Mitchell later in the day for the latest round of indirect proximity talks with Israel launched on May the 9th. My message to all parties is that we need bold decisions to change the face of the region and end the suffering and pain and the Israeli occupation of Palestinian lands, Abbas said. He added that he hoped to see the Middle East transform from a region of terrorism, as they call it, to a region of building and of peace, and to give an opportunity for the whole world to participate in the peace process. Next is an article written by the Prime Minister of Lebanon. And the sum essence of this article is the Prime Minister of Lebanon as well is stating that the international community needs to impose a peace agreement. This article was in the Los Angeles Times. It was published there May the 30th, but the article actually comes from Deseretnews.com. So the Prime Minister of Lebanon writes, "In the fall of 1991, I was an undergraduate student at Georgetown University, following the coverage of the Madrid Peace Conference. In the Spanish capital, the United States had managed to gather Arabs and Israelis around the table with the aim of ending what was then half a century of war and desperation, whose first victims were the people of the region, including the people of my country, Lebanon. As I prepared to make my first official visit to Washington as Prime Minister of Lebanon, I couldn't help but reflect on the price the entire world has paid since the Madrid Conference failed to bring peace to the Middle East and justice to the Palestinians. Back in 1991, Al-Qaeda and its offshoots and emulators simply did not exist, but fanaticism and terrorism fed on the rage, frustration, and tragedy that have replaced the failed peace. It has proved too easy to find desperate people who will do desperate things, and extremists have gained an ever-growing audience among Arabs and Muslims by asking one question: what have the moderates, the defenders of a negotiated settlement, ever achieved? The sad answer is nothing. Let no one be fooled. It is not that moderates, that's the overwhelming majority of Arabs and Muslims, have not tried. In 2002, representatives of the world's 300 million Arabs signed a peace initiative at a summit in Beirut. It offered peace to Israel in exchange for a Palestinian state and Israel's withdrawal to pre-67 borders and the return of occupied Syrian and Lebanese land. This initiative was also adopted by the member states of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, which represents the world's Muslims, 1.3 billion people. But the Arab Peace Initiative fell on deaf ears. The result was more war, more violence, and more death, fostering more rage, frustration, and despair. And now I can almost hear the heinous criminal minds that orchestrated terrorist attacks in New York, London, and Madrid telling us all, if you like the past 20 years, you're going to love the next 20. Mideast peace is now a global problem, and global problems call for global solutions and global leadership. Today, this leadership responsibly falls primarily on the United States. President Barack Obama understands well that extremism feeds on injustice. He also recognizes that despair can be exploited to serve sinister agendas. We applaud his determination to restore credibility to the Middle East peace process. This effort should not be allowed to fail, and this means the time may be soon. I believe we don't have much time left when it will be necessary to move from mediation to arbitration. Two possible forms for arbitration are the UN Security Council and the so-called Quartet of Middle East Peacemakers, that is the United States, Russia, the European Union, and the United Nations. The United States is the foremost power in both. The key would be that the terms of the final status settlement be defined by an arbitrator if the two sides fail to agree. Reaching a settlement in this matter may carry risks, but the cost of continual failure is much greater. So we see the Prime Minister of Lebanon is in favor of an imposed solution, and the Palestinians as well are asking for this as well. We'll only see how it goes in the next few months. Now, if Israel ends up agreeing to a Palestinian state, then a sign to indicate that the government of Israel is going to agree to one would be that the current opposition party, that is the Kadima party, led by Zippy Livni, formerly headed by Ehud Olmert, that if we see them joining the Israeli government, this could be a strong indication that Israel is ready to have a signed agreement to establish a Palestinian state. So what we're watching to see is if Israel will ultimately cave in to world public opinion and agree and sign a piece of paper to establish a Palestinian state, or if the United States and the international community are going to make their own peace proposal and impose a solution. Only time will tell which way things are going to go. But this article from YNetNews.com, June the 3rd, says Ehud Barak, and he heads the Labor Party in Israel, and Zippy Livni, she heads the Kadima Party, discuss governmental change. Defense Minister Ehud Barak and opposition chairwoman Zippy Livni met a few weeks ago and discussed various political issues in a private function. YNET has learned, among other things, the two discussed the possibility of changing the Israeli government's makeup. Barak started to call for some consideration regarding a change in the government's makeup several weeks ago in an effort to expand it. In his weekly appearances before the media, Barak has been stressing that the government's composition must change in order to advance on the diplomatic front, that is, to support a Palestinian state. For the time being, the chances for such appear slim, as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is believed to be uninterested in changing the government's makeup. Meanwhile, Kadima is unwilling to join the existing government. However, Livni has said in the past that her party will consider joining the government should some of Netanyahu's current partners quit the coalition. Recently, a senior official in Israel's largest opposition party said that should Netanyahu remove one of his partners, that would be Shaz or Israel Beiteinu. Shaz is a Sephardic Orthodox Jewish political party, and Israel Beiteinu is primarily a Russian-Israeli political party, that if one of these would be removed from the coalition, Kadima would join. So we need to keep an eye on that. So let's summarize here what we have gone over, that as a result of the incident that happened the past week wherein Israel prevented some ships to come into the Gaza because they were concerned that they would contain arms shipments that would be given to Hamas. They blocked those ships coming in. There was a conflict over it. People were killed, and there's an outcry in the international community regarding Israel's actions. Israel says we were only defending ourselves and defending our security. And WorldNet Daily is reporting that the United States is offering a political deal to Israel that they will oppose a UN commission to look into the incident in exchange for Israel political concessions regarding the peace process. Israel says because of their security concerns, they will continue to blockade the Gaza Strip. And these cargo ships, came with the support of Turkey, and it now appears that Turkey has made a significant political shift wherein they are now aligning themselves with Syria, Iran, and Hamas at the expense of the European Union, the United States, and Israel. Ehud Barak said that we needed to do this because we don't have second chances in the Middle East to defend ourselves. Meanwhile, regarding the peace process itself, Israel told George Mitchell they need to continue. The Palestinians told the United States that we'd like to see the continue of proximity talks. However, the Palestinians said, we're not really negotiating with Israel. We're negotiating with the United States, which means the United States has given the Palestinians assurances regarding the peace process. And there's a meeting in the United States between Barack Obama and Mahmoud Abbas on June the 9th, this coming week. And the Palestinians are saying that bold decisions need to be made on the Middle East. That's a diplomatic way of saying the United States needs to intervene in the process and begin to make demands regarding how they see the settlement would be. And the Prime Minister of Lebanon is indicating as well his support for the United States to lead the effort to impose a peace agreement. And in Israel, there are discussions with the Kadima Party about the possibility, under certain conditions, wherein they might join the Netanyahu government. And Kadima is supportive of an agreement to establish a Palestinian state. So if they see that that is going to be a reality, look for them to possibly indicate a desire to support the government, to support a Palestinian state. And the next article now I want to share with you from the Jerusalem Post on May the 30th is there's a report that Israeli subs with nuclear cruise missiles are now in the Persian Gulf. Israel is planning to permanently station a submarine carrying nuclear cruise missiles in the Persian Gulf, the Sunday Times reported on Sunday. Israel submarines have visited the Gulf before, but the decision has now been taken to ensure a permanent presence of at least one of the vessels. The paper claims that the government has decided to station at least one of three submarines armed with nuclear missiles permanently within striking distance of Iran in the Persian Gulf. According to the article, the submarines are moving to the Persian Gulf in response to the growing missile threat to Israel from Syria, Iran, and Hezbollah. So with this report, I've shared with you in previous weeks that there are U.S. aircraft carriers that are headed to the Gulf as well, and there could be as many as four or five stationed in the Gulf by late July or August. And with such firepower of the United States being there and with an Israeli sub being there as well, there is preparations for war. Meanwhile, the Palestinians, in seeking to establish institutions to support a Palestinian state, now are saying that they're considering, once they get their own state, to have their own currency. May the 30th from the Jerusalem Post, the headline is, "The Palestinians are considering their own currency." The Palestinian Authority is considering introducing its own currency called the Palestinian Pound. Palestinian Monetary Authority Governor Jihad al-Wazir said in an interview with the Washington Post on Sunday, "All options are open as far as we're concerned. Issuing our own currency is one," Wazir was quoted as saying, added that the Palestinians were weighing linking the currency to the dollar or the euro. The article reported that Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Salam Fayyad is working to ensure the Palestinians can function independently of Israel, and as a part of those preparations has just laid the foundation for a central bank which Wazir would head. Wazir is said to be friendly with Bank of Israel Governor Stanley Fisher and has assumed many of the roles of a central banker. And so we see preparations are still being made by the Palestinian Authority for governing an eventual Palestinian state. Now, the last article I have to share with you and this week's update is regarding the current economic situation with the United States. And in an article in the Washington Times on June the 2nd, our federal national debt has now exceeded $13 trillion. The federal government is now $13 trillion in the red. The Treasury Department will announce Wednesday, marking the first time the government has sunk that far into debt. At $13 trillion, that works out to an obligation of more than $42,000 for every U.S. citizen. So only the federal debt, we're not counting credit card debt, we're not counting personal debt, we're not counting business debt. Just the federal debt that they tell us about, that they acknowledge, not the stuff that they do alternative bookkeeping with, but what they acknowledge, amounts to $42,000 for every U.S. resident. Of course, everyone knows that this direction is unsustainable, and ultimately the debt of the United States is a ticking time bomb. The issue isn't whether the United States is going to go bankrupt, because it will at some point in time. The issue is when it is going to happen. So we're looking for the possibility it could be sooner rather than later. Well, I pray that you've enjoyed the 5-minute update for this week. It's helped you to keep abreast on what's going on regarding major prophesied events of the end of days mentioned in the Bible. And the Bible has called those in the end of days to be watchmen on the walls. And that is what Hebraic Heritage Ministry seeks to be, is a watchman on the wall of Jerusalem. So we're helping you to be able to understand the current situation regarding the peace process, about the possibility of war with Iran, about world economic collapse, because these are tribulation events. And because the discussion of these things are in our current news, it would indicate to us that us being in the tribulation can be very near in the not-too-distant future. So we will continue to be watchmen on the walls, and until we do the 5-minute update again, shalom. In Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.